If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14 this morning. Proverbs chapter 14. As we stand together, Proverbs chapter 14. We will look at one verse, and that is verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor." Let us read that together. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. And I want to focus in on the first part of that verse in which the Bible reads, "Fools make a mock at sin." Father, again, we come to you pleading for your help. Lord, so often as I approach the pulpit, I feel as Moses, one who is inadequate, one who is weak and in needing of your grace and mercy. Who am I that I should stand and proclaim the holy truths of God? But yet I do so because of the same promise that you gave Moses. Go, and I will be with thy mouth. I acknowledge, Lord, that you have made my mouth and you have called me to the ministry to proclaim not my opinion, not my thoughts, but your holy, perfect word. So I pray that you will be with me now. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was around 2:30 a.m. on Friday, July 3rd, 2015, near Burkhart's Marina in Orange, Texas. A 28-year-old man decided to take a swim, ignoring a sign that was posted nearby that read, "No swimming, alligators." A marina employee testifies that she pleaded with the young man to stay out of the water. Ignoring the posted sign and the verbal warning of the employee, the man mocked the alligators and jumped into the water. As quickly as he was in the water, he immediately yelled for help. An alligator had its razor-sharp teeth around his chest. One witness said that she saw the man float up face down, and within seconds, he disappeared into the dark waters. 2 hours later, at 4:30 a.m., his body was found with puncture wounds on his upper chest and left arm. What a sad end to this young man's life. This young man ignored a clear posted sign and a verbal warning from an employee, and his rebellion cost him his life. Now, before we are quick to condemn this young man for his actions, the reality is, you and I are confronted with a greater enemy each day, and many of us mock at it. The enemy I am referring to is sin. And the Word of God declares that those who mock at sin are fools, for fools make a mock at sin. It is important, before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, to examine whether or not any sins have a grip on us, leading us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that it is possible to take the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper in a way that is unworthy, and it may cause God's judgment to rest upon not only our own house, but upon the house of God. And not desiring that many would grow weak and weary among us, it is my desire this morning that we would examine our hearts and our walk with God and ask, am I one who mocks at sin? So let me provide you with three ways this morning, three ways in which fools make a mock at sin. The first way fools make a mock at sin is by mocking the presence of sin. Fools mock the presence of sin. The word mock means to tease or to laugh. It means to laugh at in a scornful manner, to ridicule, to scoff, to make light of. The word sin is the transgression of the law. That is the Bible definition for the word sin. Sin is rebellion against God and His authority, against God and His goodness. Sin is doing that which is contrary to God's word and not doing what is commanded in God's word. The word sin in the New Testament exactly means to miss the mark. As one who shoots arrow, aims for the target, and shoots it and falls short or goes beyond it. He has missed the mark that he is aiming for. And so we, as the created race of God, miss the mark in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark of perfection because of the wicked, sinful thoughts, words, and deeds that we do. And there are two primary ways in which fools mock at the presence of sin. Fools make light of sin in themselves. They make light of sin by doubting the condition of their own hearts. The prophet Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The preacher Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But fools deny and suppress God's truth, believing that they are generally good and not evil. The first way a fool mocks at sin is by saying, I'm actually better than what you think. I'm actually a good, righteous person. I am not, as the Baptist preacher says, a sinner and one who falls short of the glory of God. Come follow me for a week and you will see me giving of myself to my coworkers. You will see me serving at the soup kitchen. You will see me saying kind words and doing kind deeds to those who are in the community. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, the Apostle John says. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. While those who proclaim their own goodness deny the doctrine of depravity with their lips, their life proves that they are evil, wicked, ungodly people. With no fear of God before their eyes, fools wallow in their sin like pigs wallowing in the mud. And they think it is fun to sin. And they take pleasure in those things that proceed from out of their heart, which are evil thoughts, murders, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And fools do not hate what God hates, neither do they love that which God loves. Rather, they love what God hates and hate what God loves. Fools make a light of sin within themselves, but also fools make a light of sin in others. Consider how foolish our culture is in mocking sin at others. Consider the music that is in our culture. Consider the movies that we are so glamorized by. Consider the TV shows, the books, the magazines, the video games, which are filled with blasphemous and ungodly language, drunkenness, perverseness, anger, murder, rape, and abuse. And these things are not only accepted by our culture, they are esteemed in the eyes of our culture. And if you will think for a moment about the matter of that which amuses people today, you will see that we as America, as Americans, are a people most foolish. Pastor Torres in his Sunday school class mentioned that we even have parades set aside and organized for people to flaunt their sinfulness before God and men. Fools make a mock at sin. Now listen, church, it's easy to point our fingers at the rest of the world and to pat on ourselves thinking that we are righteous and they are the ones that are evil. It's easy to point the fingers and find fault in others when we are guilty of the same. So here, let me ask you, what about us? Do we make a mock at sin in ourselves? Do we think that we are righteous before God without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we make light of the sin in others? Do we laugh at their ungodly jokes? Do we turn on the television and smile at that which is displeasing to God? Do we make a mock at sin? It's time for the church to pray to God, as Paul prayed in Romans, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You see, we've become calloused to that which is ungodly. We've been desensitized by sin. Sin no longer shocks us. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of sin, and he says that the people could not even blush anymore. They were so used to it. Is that us? We who proclaim to be Christians? We who proclaim to be delivered from the power of sin? We who are called unto holiness and righteousness and godliness in this present world, do we blush even anymore? Do we blush when we accidentally use the name of the Lord in vain? Do we blush when we hear somebody else using the name of God in vain? Do we blush when we see an immoral act on television? Do we blush when we hear a curse word? Do we make light of sin? Fools mock the presence of sin, but also see fools mock the penalty of sin. Fools deny the penalty of sin, which is hell. The wages of sin is death. And this not only talks about physical death, but also spiritual death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21:8, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the Word of God declares that there is a reality to the wages of sin. It is death, eternal death. Jesus Christ has declared, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Yet fools mock the penalty of sin, which is eternal damnation. Let me begin with the religious world and show you how they mock the penalty of sin. The Catholic Church has mocked the reality of hell by their teaching of purgatory, by this middle state in which others can be freed from. But the Bible states there are only two places that one goes to after death. It is heaven or hell. There's no purgatory in the Scriptures. Hinduism and many New Age groups mock the reality of hell by their teaching of reincarnation. Then after you die, you will come back as a pretty butterfly floating around the wonderful deserts of Yucca Valley. Or perhaps you will reincarnate to a different human being. Many cults, such as Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witness, mock the reality of hell by their teachings of annihilation. That is, total destruction of the body and the spirit rather than everlasting torment. They believe that once you're done, you're done. Many professing Christians mock the reality of hell by their teaching the theory of universalism, that all persons will ultimately be saved. That God is so full of love that He would never send anyone to hell. And still others around us confess hell is an imaginary place made up by pastors and churches to scare and brainwash people. Others I have heard say, well, we are experiencing hell right now. Look around you and see the wars. See the oppression. See the poverty. This is hell. But my friend, this is not hell. This is earth. This is life. I'm looking outside now and I see light, not darkness. I hear birds chirping, not souls screaming and being tormented day and night. Listen, this earth is the closest that unbelievers will ever be to heaven, and farthest from believers will be from hell. But fools mock the reality of hell. They say it is untrue. It's a made-up doctrine. And fools also deny the severity of hell. And we just look to Hollywood here, a couple hours away from us, and Hollywood mocks it by making Satan seem like a fun, likable man. And the movies and television shows depict hell as one big party where friends will unite to enjoy their sinful pleasures forever. But the Word of God describes hell as a torment, a place of eternal torment. It is a place of eternal judgment and wrath, and there will be nothing funny, lighthearted, or pleasurable in hell. Nothing. May we cast off any lightheartedness regarding the penalty of sin, lest we become like the man mocking at the alligators for one moment and then perishing the next. Fools deny the presence of sin. Fools mock the presence of sin. Fools mock the penalty of sin. Thirdly, I want you to see, fools mock the pardon of sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to offer forgiveness to all who will believe in Him. And yet we see from Scripture that fools have always mocked Him and His sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Look at Matthew chapter 27 with me, if you will. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 29. Matthew 27. Here we have the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Here we read of the soldiers who took Christ and crucified Him. In Matthew 27, beginning in verse 29. And when they, the soldiers, had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head and a reed in His right hand, and they bowed the knee before Him and what? Mocked Him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And after that, they had mocked Him. They took the robe off from Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. Fools mock the pardon of sin, and fools mock at the person of Jesus Christ. That is, they mock who He is. That's exactly what we read here. They didn't acknowledge Jesus Christ and confess Him as the true and living Savior. They did not acknowledge Him as the Lamb of God, the promised Messiah, which came to take away the sins of the world. Instead, they mocked His person. They mocked God incarnate. Their worship was false and not true. And fools mocked the person of Jesus Christ. They say He is just a man. He is just a good teacher. He is a figment of our imagination. Jesus is not the Savior, they say. They mock who He is. But notice here in this passage, fools mock at the purpose of Jesus Christ. Verses 32 through 44, "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear His cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him." He trusted in God. "Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. What were they doing? They were not only mocking at who he was, but what he came to do. And fools do the same thing today. Many passed by that cross that day, looked up, "This is not God. This is not the Savior. If he was the one who has all power in heaven and earth, he would save himself. He would get down." These men who passed by that day were scoffing. They were scoffing at the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, and they did not know it. How foolish were they? Do you know what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians about the message of the gospel? Jesus Christ dying, being buried, and rising again the third day according to the scriptures. Do you know what the unbelieving world calls that? Foolishness. The gospel to them is foolishness, because they believe they're good. "I'm good, therefore why do I need a Savior? Why do I need one to die in my place? Why Jesus above all things? Why can't I work my way to heaven?" And all these questions lead to mockings. But again, I am preaching to you, not to others who are outside this building. How about you? Perhaps you are the fool that the Word of God is describing. Are you mocking at the presence of sin? Are you mocking at the penalty of sin? Do you make light of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord is setting before you this day life or death, blessing or cursing, eternal bliss or eternal damnation. And listen, only a fool would hear Christ's glorious invitation of forgiveness of sin, peace with God, joy unspeakable, and then turn away. Only a fool would forsake free grace and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine a cancer patient dying of cancer, looking for a cure. And the doctor says, "I have found a cure for your cancer. Though I have told you, you only have 9 months to live. If you take this cure, you will live, and you will live for years." Imagine that patient saying, "I don't want it. I would rather die. I don't want to spend extra time with my family. I don't want to be here anymore on earth." We would call that person a fool, to reject that which is a cure to his disease. Suppose a rich man offered a poor man $1 million and a house, and the poor man could come off the streets and establish himself again, and that poor man turning to the rich man saying, "I don't want it. I would rather live here in the sewer with the rats. I would rather go along in my drug addiction. I would rather give myself to the wine, to the beer, to the strong liquor of this world." We would call that person a fool. But how much more those who reject the greatest gift of salvation? Am I describing you this morning? Are you without God and without hope in this world? Is life to you without meaning and without purpose? You're just waking up, going through the motions, going to bed, waking up, going through the motions, going to bed, but really inwardly you have no purpose. You don't know why you're here. You have no aim. You have no end to your life. Do you long to be made right with God, the God that you have sinned against? The Bible calls on you to repent and to believe the gospel. Turn from your wicked ways and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Will you be like the young man who sees and hears the warnings and yet dies in your sin? How foolish when God gives through His grace and sovereignty the message of the gospel, salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Dear Christian, I want to ask you to consider who the Spirit of God used to write Proverbs 14, verse 9. Think about it. Most likely it was King Solomon. King Solomon, the son of David, the third king of Israel. The wisest man who ever lived. King Solomon was used of God in the construction of the Holy Temple. He was used of God to write many proverbs and songs. King Solomon was a godly king who encouraged others to obey God with a loyal heart. And all the earth came to Solomon. They sought Solomon's wisdom. The Lord appeared unto Solomon not once, but twice. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. And we read the sad end to this king who was used greatly by God. 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil on the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. The Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. Notice the next phrase, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Solomon ignored the posted warnings written by Moses. Solomon dismissed the verbal warnings spoken by God, and it led to his ruin. The wisest man who ever lived acted very foolishly and mocked at sin. There's a lesson for us in this. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. In Proverbs, he's warning us not to mock at sin, but we must remember to daily make it our practice to look into the mirror of God's Word and examine ourselves before we examine others, lest our heart is turned away from God. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. This is the prayer we need to pray each day. What a glorious testimony 1 Kings chapter 1 through 10 is. And we applaud Solomon. Yes, Solomon, you're being used greatly of God. Yes, Solomon, you're drawing close to God. Yes, Solomon, your name should be written in Hebrews chapter 11. And then we take the turn and turn to 1 Kings chapter 11 and we say, why, Solomon, why? What alligators are you mocking and making light of? Is it the sin of lust, fornication, adultery? Men, listen. These will bite you and destroy you. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. This is a fight. It's a furious fight. And you don't want to become a casualty in the battle. Is it the sin of drunkenness? So you come here dressed up Sunday morning, but others don't know about your habit Monday through Saturday. You say, does that happen in churches? Yes, all the time. Is it the sin of unbelief? Is it the sin of covetousness you're mocking at? Oh, this will never grab a hold of my heart and turn me away from God. Is it the sin of loving the world more than loving Christ? Loving another human being more than loving Christ? Know this, Christian, your sin will always find you out. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. One preacher said this, if I had a brother who had been murdered, what would you think of me if I daily consorted with the assassin who drove the dagger into my brother's heart? Surely I too must be an accomplice in the crime. Sin murdered Christ. Will you be a friend to it? Sin pierced the heart of the incarnate God. Can you love it? Oh, dear Christian, may we see the seriousness of sin. May we be like Joseph when confronted by sin, when tempted by evil. May we not give way to it, but may we flee it and flee it fast. May we be like David who prays, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them which turn aside. It will not cleave to me. Oh yes, we do fight. The inward man, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. There's this war, there's this battle against the flesh, against the spirit. But we have Jesus Christ who gives us the victory over our sin. So we daily cast ourselves upon Him, asking Him for His power and strength to live a holy and pleasing life. If you're in here this morning and you are lost without Christ, and you are one who mocks sin. You are one who mocks the person of Christ. You are one who mocks even why Christ came to earth. Know that salvation is offered to you. The one who has offended God, God in His grace and mercy comes to you and says, come. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come ye, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Your burdens are bearing you down. Sin is a heavy weight upon your heart and soul. But God says, cast it before the cross, and you will know freedom, spiritual freedom. Cast thy burdens on the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Do you need Christ today? Are you living a double life? Dressing up like a Christian Sunday morning and then going your own way the rest of the week? Oh, the Word of God affirms that all men have acted foolishly. All we like sheep have gone astray. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, we've all done foolish. We've all been bitten by the serpent of sin. All apart from Christ are dead in trespasses and sins. All are in need of a new heart. All need to be washed of their sins if they are to live eternally with God. And all are called to be born again, to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ intimately, personally, savingly. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We turn to the rock, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Though we've done foolishly, he is able to make us wise unto salvation. Paul tells Timothy, "And that thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Jesus speaks of the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. What's the rock? Jesus Christ and his teachings. That's the rock. That's the wise man. The foolish man builds his house or his life on the sand. What's the sand? The philosophies of this world. That which is contrary to the scriptures. There's coming a day of judgment. There's coming a great storm. And those who've built their lives on Jesus Christ, they will stand and be eternally saved. But those who've built their lives on themselves, on the teachings of this world, everything contrary to Christ, they will be destroyed and eternally perish. There's only two options. There are only two roads. There are only two people in this room. Wise or foolish? Those who mock at sin or those who are troubled by sin? Fools make a mock at sin. Young people, let me plead with you. You will be tempted in 1,000 different ways to jump into the waters. Others will try to persuade you there are no alligators in those waters. Come, just try. Come, see, experience. Just jump out, see what happens. The moment you jump, you will be bitten. Don't do it. There's a sign right here posted for you. It's not worth it. There's a preacher pleading with you. Don't jump in. It's not worth it. But the choice is yours. What choice will you make?